To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
It's rivalry week. Ducks and Huskies go toe-to-toe this week.
Huskies can't stop the clock. This game's going to be over. And Oregon has come to Seattle. They're going to come out on top.
No love lost from one of these hosts.
I delve into these waters because I love seeing the misery of Husky fans. It makes me happy inside.
Andy Dirk Johnson.
We're going to run it until you can stop it. Yeah. We're more physical than you. We're bigger than you. We're stronger than you. And you can't slow us down at the point of attack.
Brandon Sprague.
Such a football bro.
This is a Rivalry Week edition of Dirt and Sprague. Brought to you by Roto-Rooter, the experts in plumbing, drains, and water cleanup on the Fan Sports Network. 105.1 FM, 1080 AM, and the Odyssey app.
Hey, welcome in the second hour here. Dirt and Sprague on 105.1, the Fan Sports Network, the Odyssey app, 1080 AM, YouTube. Good morning. Hope everybody's having an enjoyable little Monday morning. It was weird. I told my wife yesterday, I had a nice weekend. It went by rather quickly, but it was like, you know, we're just always doing something.
Yeah, always busy.
And I don't know what it was, but around like 5 or 5:30, we were cleaning up a little bit, getting ready for the week, and I just looked at my wife and I go, why does it feel like I don't work tomorrow? There was some weird kind of vibe, and I think it's because my kids were off school Friday, and they're off all week this week.
They get all week of Thanksgiving off now, huh? That wasn't the case when we were in school.
No.
But there's a lot of those examples now.
Yeah, I told my oldest, because I picked her up on Wednesday, I would drive into somewhere she had to go, and I was like, I can't believe you're off Friday and the whole week. I swear on everything, we went to school till Wednesday of Thanksgiving week.
Absolutely went to school until Wednesday. And then you come home, and then you get Thursday off, and you get Black Friday off, and then you go back the following Monday.
Well, you may not be able to count on your kids going to school every day, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Stream your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Just $30 for the first year. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started. We have a lot to get to here in the second hour of the program.
Yes, we do.
I think that was really well put, and we got some great P1s. A lot of great P1s. We really appreciate everybody. Even when you think one of us is dumb or we're both idiots, but you tune in anyway and chime in. Like, I appreciate anybody that hangs out with us in any capacity and listens. We have some P1s that are Beaver fans.
Yeah.
And I hear from them on my socials, and it's not easy right now.
No,
okay?
Not at all.
We've got a vegan. We might be going vegan now at Oregon State.
You guys could be vegan starting pretty soon.
Although he's one of those vegans that denies that's the case.
So he's a vegan that's not a vegan, but he's vegan?
He's a secret vegan.
He's a secret vegan?
He's like a vegan, but he's a secret vegan now, so we'll have to wait and see on that one.
He's in town. How about Ryan Clark getting the scoop of the weekend?
Oh, our boy Ryan Clark.
Just all over it.
He's
going full SEC guy. He's camped out at the airport waiting for people to walk around the concourse.
Well, look, it's a holiday week, so I might be wrong on this. I'm actually not trying to report anything, but I legitimately believe they're going to announce their coach this week.
They would be stupid not to. You've had 2 weeks to do interviews. They finalized their candidates. It's down to a small list of people. What are we waiting on?
That being said, what I meant to say was when those Oregon State listeners will DM me, like I posted this weekend on my Instagram, I don't watch game day. I was up for it because my soccer team was on, but I didn't watch it. But I went and watched the landing part. I saw that on socials. And you know this about me, man. I don't pom-pom wave for your team, but he is absolutely somebody that, like, if he was literally anywhere else, everybody in this state, whether you root for Oregon or not, everybody would have a universal approval opinion of him. Now, you can point, oh, he's the one of the big one. Okay, it's your four. By the way, how many titles in like 55 years has Ohio State won? It's not like you're winning every year, you know what I mean? But he had an interview on game day, and he said a bunch of stuff. And I just, it's impossible for me not to look at culture building, character, psychotic nature, lunatic drive. Like, he has just displayed it over and over and over again. I thought he displayed it during the game. It was why I went in. I thought they would cover the number. It's why I didn't have any... I didn't go into that game thinking USC had any chance to win it, to be honest with you. I didn't even care if they scored first. I just have a lot of faith in him. I have a lot of faith in the talent difference. They're at home. They lost Indiana. And I think what Pate said there about the attention to detail, getting Kenyon Barner to say, hey, man, is this normal wherever you go? And that's a guy that went to a title game. I just think a lot of him... I said this about Lane. I don't know where Lane Kiffin's going to go, Dirt. But to me in this world, I don't think it's about institutions anymore. He very well could go to Florida, LSU. It is about coaches. And Dan Lanning is a prime example of why it's about you, man. You make the institutions now.
Yeah.
Lane wants to go to LSU. Why? Because he wants to play for a title. What is Ole Miss currently doing?
Right.
So, like,
having a chance to play for a title.
I find these narratives, I can't believe they exist in media anymore, to be honest. Like, that's where my opinion is at. I think all of this is dumb. I hope he stays at Ole Miss, but it doesn't feel like he's going to. And I think the coach makes institutions now more so than institutions make the coach.
Yeah, and Pate said it last night, and I had the same reaction watching it, and it was how I thought the game was going to play out going in. Like, this to me was a culture game for Oregon over USC. Dan Lanning and Lincoln Riley were hired in the same coaching cycle. And Lincoln Riley came in and had the same game plan that he did at the end of his Oklahoma days of just saying, we're going to be elite offensively. We'll sling the ball all over the field. And that's how we win games under Lincoln Riley's leadership. And the reality for him was they got away with it in year one because they won some close games and kind of survived. Caleb wins a Heisman Trophy and you get to a conference championship game. But the two times they ran into a team that could handle them at the line of scrimmage, Utah pushed them around. They beat them in Salt Lake City in a close game, and then they dominated them in the Pac-12 title game. And it's been downhill ever since. Lanning came in and made the right moves on day one. He understood that the lifeblood of his program is recruiting. He understands that in order to compete at the highest level of the sport, it takes strength in numbers, it takes depth, and you build that through recruiting, and it takes elite play at the line of scrimmage. And so I thought all of this was on display this weekend of a guy who has clearly pointed this thing in the right direction for 4 years. And every excuse, like I'm sure some of the talking points for USC fans today will be, well, we just hurt ourselves. Look at the mistakes we made.
They're close, though, Dirk.
We're so close. The leaping penalty and all the injuries. And like for everything that USC could say that we did to ourselves and that's why we lost the game, I just point at them and laugh and say, did you watch Oregon this weekend?
They obviously should have had like 4 picks in that game.
Not to mention the fact that Oregon's entire starting offense was essentially out of the game by the time the third quarter rolled around. Yeah. Their entire offensive line was down. They had no
wide
receivers to
throw. They on the offensive
just
line.
Everybody's out. Nobody's healthy. And that was the case for both teams. For the, hey, we leaped over the kicker and handed you a touchdown there. How about the only reason Oregon was in that spot was because Malik Benson got a penalty at the 4-yard line that might have been the softest, you know, unsportsmanlike
taunting
call that I've ever seen.
Get
and it would have been first to goal at the 4. And Oregon falls forward and easily has a touchdown. And so the whole reason they were in that spot was because of something that the officials and Oregon did to themselves. And so it was a culture game to me of understanding this is why Oregon fans for 3 years have talked about recruiting and building depth and building bodies and guys that you trust to go in there and play. Fox Crater is a name we have not said all year on the show. Not once. We haven't talked about him. We haven't thought about him. You know why? Because he's their fifth tackle.
You could have said his name
you
to
would have
me
no
and
clue
asked what sport and what position. I would have never. I mean, maybe I would have said Oregon, but I didn't know that name.
That's tackle number 5. He had played a total of 32 snaps on the season. He came in, and on top of that, you had your center go down on the second drive of the game, and then your right tackle left the game. And so your offensive line is decimated. How many times did they touch Dante Moore?
Oh, zero, right?
Zero.
He didn't get sacked.
They had 2 plays the entire game that were negative yard plays. 2 plays that they ran that lost yardage with 3 of their 5 starting offensive linemen essentially missing the entire game. And it was a culture game, and that's how Oregon won.
I want to play this Pate cut. If you missed him, we had him on at 6:30. It's a weird week for us because it's a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So he agreed to come on a Monday. And if you missed that interview, you can always check it out at 105.1 The Fan. We may bring some other stuff from the interview throughout the week, because we will preview Oregon Washington at some point, probably starting more tomorrow, because I want to talk about the Oregon USC game today. But you know, I looked at the post game, And I know we got landing cuts. We'll get to those. I didn't see anybody ask him, but I kind of wondered in my mind. I had noticed in previous situations in that game, I had noticed that USC was leaping over the center previously.
They almost blocked a PAT doing it earlier in the game.
And what I noticed was no flag was thrown. And what I'm wondering is, I thought about landing on primetime last week because he was asked about PI calls. And he basically takes the road of, I probably should be louder and yell at the refs more, but I would have thought coming in as a coach that being respectful got you flags, whereas history is telling me that it's not the case, that you actually got to be kind of a D to somebody to get a flag, which I agreed with everything he said there.
You got to go Greg Popovich. He was always famous at that. Yes. Just work the officials. You come out of a timeout, what happens? Whistle, 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 whistle.
And I might be wrong on this if he ever was asked the question. I wondered when they threw the flag on it.
He wasn't asked about that postgame. No.
I know. Yeah. And I'm just wondering if you did ask him. I wonder if he worked him a little bit like, hey, because he was yelling at somebody to go in on the block. And I'm wondering if he drew attention that they had, I think they had done it twice prior to that. And so it was like, hey man, he's jumping on the center and touching him. Like, all right. And then they get the flag on it.
Yeah.
Here was Josh Pate earlier on how Dan Lanning, he gets to go to these meetings, Pate, when he visits these institutions, and he gets to watch like coaching meetings with different positional groups. He watched special teams, and he was in a meeting with Kenyon Barner, who famously went to a title game with Oregon, a great career. And here's what his interaction with Kenyon Barner was about Dan Lanning's coaching.
It's just like Georgia and Alabama and Ohio State. Those are the three I would compare it to. It's about attention to detail. That's more so than anything what stands out. Some of it's more intense than others. I mean, Dan's just a total psychopath. So everything that you watch in your hype videos or whatnot, if anything, the team meeting is a little bit above and beyond that. So it was funny. Kenyon Barner was there the other day, and I was talking to him the next day afterwards, because we're both sitting in team meetings and stuff like that, but I didn't talk to him on Friday. I talked to him on Saturday. He said, look, I know what my time at Oregon was like. I know the rooms I've been in, the coaches I've been in or been around. You're around a bunch of them. Is that normal? He was basically asking, hey, what we just watched Dan do, is that normal? I said, no, there's really nothing about that guy that's normal. But it would be one thing if you get up in front of a crowd, if you get up in front of a team and you just talk and you throw a lot of stuff around, and then you don't back it up. Because there are several people who could do that. But to be that way, to be so maniacal about everything, but also to have this attention to detail like some mathematician with Coke bottle glasses on would have, that's the difference.
So he's up there with all of the elites of the sport. And that's all I wanted to highlight was watching those two coaches. I said it last week of like, if we reversed Lanning and Lincoln's resumes 4 years in,
we'd be killing Lanning.
Everybody would kill Lanning, whether you were an Oregon fan or not.
Yes.
And Lincoln gets to come in and be like, hey, it's year four. Yeah, he's close.
We're close. We're so close.
Loses by two touchdowns. Hey, he's close, guys. I promise. He's played nobody and beaten nobody of real note, but he's close, guys.
Play here, play there. That's all we need.
And they barely tried to run the football because Oregon was going to shut that down anyway.
They couldn't run the football whenever they tried.
Right, but they didn't really make an effort to it. Maiava should have had like four picks in this game. They were unprepared for special teams. Like, I don't know. Sometimes you said it best to end the last hour. You're in the golden days.
And acknowledge it and appreciate it.
Because right. I don't,
you know, you hope this run lasts a long time. But this is the glory days of Oregon football. But the prime reason that I was confident last week, and I think you were too, in Oregon's ability to win, is that you knew USC was going to throw the ball. Now, we'll get to it in the way Oregon's secondary played and the penalties and all that. They gave up 230 passing yards in the first half. I certainly didn't see that coming.
Finney finally had a bad game.
Finney finally had some elite wide receivers, and right. They went at him, right? But that part of that was Oregon's defensive game plan, and we'll talk about that. But this has always been Lincoln Riley teams. Mm-hmm. Everywhere he has been, when they play elite competition that can go toe-to-toe with them talent-wise, they don't win at the line of scrimmage. They don't win on the margins. They're bad special. Like, if I were a USC fan, I would be screaming. You know why? They went on the road and played Notre Dame, and the games were almost identical.
I literally was going to bring that up
USC
today.
USC can't run the ball in these games. Yeah. They can't stop the run in these games. Oregon would have ran it for 350 if their offensive line was healthy, but they still averaged 5 yards a carry without half of their starting line. What also happened in the Notre Dame game? What was a key pivotal swing in that game? Oh, that's right. They gave up a kickoff return for a touchdown.
Right after
they're bad in special teams. They can't win in any way other than throwing the football. And so maybe we all have to, you know, eat crow on this 3 years down the line and Lincoln Riley's winning a national championship at USC.
Yeah.
But until I see him start to take that seriously and win games in those ways, beating Iowa at home is great. It's a different animal to go on the road and play at Autzen, and he learned that this weekend.
We'll get into the Oregon-USC game to kick off the second hour. Dirt and Sprague back with more on 105.1 The Fan.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Ah, DSW. Birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back in. We had an early ticker today. Good morning. Happy Monday, everybody.
Hello.
Does mean a lot to hear Josh Pate was in Eugene, hearing from people that listen to his interviews here on the program. We appreciate that love. We love having him on. So we had to have him on today because he cannot go Thursday because we're not doing shows. Nobody's doing shows on Thursday.
No, we will not be here on Thursday.
We'll be partaking in NFL football.
Yes, we will.
As we get ready for the Oregon-Washington
rivalry week. You're next, puppies.
Yeah. Feeling the love for Oregon State, Washington State.
Oh. I mean, I did have the thought this weekend, and I, you know, this probably pissed Beaver fans off, but I just genuinely miss the Pac-12. I genuinely miss it.
Same.
Big games are fun. Playing Michigan, Ohio State. You know, the Iowa game was pretty cool. Penn State, White. Like, there's some of them that are awesome, no doubt. But I talked about this on the pregame show on Saturday. Like, it was unique to go into a big game for Oregon and have there actually be a history there.
I was going to say, that game felt fun because it's a Pac-12 throwback.
And USC and Oregon fans hate each other.
Yes.
It's a West Coast thing, and it's just like there's... I remember every USC moment of my lifetime, whether it's a loss in heartbreaking fashion or a dominant win, and Oregon's dominated a lot of those games in the last 15 years. And it just, you went into the Indiana game as a big game, which it was. Game day was there, but it's like, we haven't played him since 2004. It's Kurt Cignetti in Indiana. There's not a history. So maybe in 25 years, Oregon gets there, but I miss the Pac-12.
Well, you said something to Pate that was hilarious, and I'm glad he didn't just chuckle. He laughed because he knew it, but it sounds weird to say, you know, Indiana's going to make the playoff twice, and Lincoln, Riley, and USC haven't made it once.
Second year of a 12-team playoff.
And you could say schedule. Okay, cool. But they've taken care of their schedule, and USC hasn't. So
don't lose to Illinois.
Oregon
lose. What happened to Illinois this weekend?
Yeah, I did.
They lost to Wisconsin.
Yeah. I saw that. Yeah, Bielema's back.
Hey, back in the top 25. Not anymore, my friend.
Oregon causes another loss for USC. They cannot win on the road, and they beat the Trojans 42-27. Game day in town. We have Mariota as the guest picker. He goes into the Hall of Fame. Great moment for him. Here was Dan Lanning in the post game. We have a lot to get to in this game. We'll hear from Lincoln Riley as well, as he was asked a question by what sounded like a student reporter.
It was a very I found the reporter. He's not a student, but a just former student. He's like 23 years old, just out of college.
Is he an Oregon person?
He is not an Oregon person. He's a USC person. He covers. Oh. He went to USC. He's a USC grad.
We got a USC student, yes. Former student troller. Okay,
asking some hard questions.
Well, you mentioned it there. Like, you can make all the excuses for why USC lost you want. Oregon was quite literally feeling like every other play an offensive lineman got down. They lost Poncho in this game. He did not return.
Nope.
Harkey left the game. He eventually came back. World started and then left. He got hurt again. So it was just like every other play, it felt like Oregon lineman was going down.
Not to mention the fact that their swing tackle, who is Janoris Wilson, who started the game against Iowa when Harkey couldn't play, is also out.
Thank you for highlighting that. And so here was Dan Lanning in the post game on just going with the next man mantra.
Talking about all year.
Yeah, you said it. I mean, all those moments showed up. And guys, I always talk about being ready for your opportunity, not waiting for your opportunity. There's some guys that were ready for their opportunity when their number was called. And there's some stuff that we can clean up. But we got a bunch of guys that want to go out there and battle for the man next to them. And they take a lot of pride in what they do. And to be able to, you know, take 6 minutes off the clock there on that last drive when they got a loaded box every down and the numbers for them are right, but we're still able to out-push and finish physically, that's what really matters, you know. And you got a bunch of guys on this team that have unbelievable heart. You know, Noah Whittington showed up the last 4 weeks in a big way for us. The way he's run the ball, the way he works. You got Bryce Petcher. You got a bunch of seniors that give it their all. You know, Charlie Pickard, whose number hadn't been called all year, and he comes in on senior night. I know that's got to be a special moment for him. And there's some moments to clean up for sure, but what an awesome way for him to get to enjoy senior night.
Amen to that. Pickard came in. Did you get nervous?
Without a doubt. Do you remember how the year started last year?
Well, that's why I'm
when
asking.
You couldn't block anybody, yeah, against Idaho and Boise State? Yeah, I was terrified. Not to mention the fact that Fox Crater had played 32 snaps all year, and he was your starting left tackle. Because going into the game, if I would have asked you, what is the biggest advantage, like position to position, that Oregon probably
has?
It's
the uglies.
It's the offensive line, yeah, against USC's defense. That was the biggest advantage that they had going into the game.
Yep.
And then you find out the World rolled his ankle the first play of the Minnesota game, played through it, but he was questionable. I saw that announcement. I'm like, uh-oh. I'm down on the field before the game. I see him warming up. His ankles were so heavily taped, it looked like he was wearing two casts.
Yeah.
That's how much tape was on his ankles. And then I'm like, I was standing next to Dusty at the time, and I'm like, I'm looking at the availability report. So Janoris Wilson's out. He's their number three tackle. Who I didn't even know who was next on the depth chart. I had to ask him. He said it'd probably be Fox Crater, and I thought, all right, buckle up. And Fox Crater played terrific.
Well, you mentioned the defense there, and Lanning mentioned Betcher. Like, we should note, like, he's had some good moments, but he's had some really rough moments this year. It's not been quite the Cinderella season for Betcher after having such a good year last year. It was best game of the year, in my opinion.
He was phenomenal.
He was everywhere, you know, flying around the field. He was in the backfield, like, he was a man possessed. He played really well. Senior day, you know, not their last home game because they'll probably host one if they can beat Washington. But what, you know, it's a celebration of your last home game is what it is for the seniors.
It was cool to give him the touchdown, too. That 100%. Was a cool touching
point. I love that touchdown because you had Tuioti back there. You had
Barry Alexander was in there.
And then you bet you're going in with the blockers. Here was Dan Lanning on the defense versus USC.
You know, I think it's huge when you can take away a team's strength. I think they've been able to run the ball really well this season, and for us to be able to stop it was big. But, you know, obviously we want to go back and clean up some of the passing attack that they had. You know, their quarterback special. They have some wideouts that made some big-time plays today, contested catches. It was a physical game from that standpoint. They were certainly going to attack the ball. Our guys were trying to battle and fight and keep them from getting the ball, and we can go improve that and get better in that area, and then just go evaluate it. But, you know, proud that we can, you know, like I said, coming in here rushing for 180 yards and then rushing for 52, I think tells a big story.
Well, and I think that's the thing, too, is like the Oregon defense clearly was not going to allow King Miller to go off. He had 15 carries for 30 yards. It's a 2-yard average, right? Everybody else, I mean, it just didn't exist outside of that. That being said, what I was a little surprised or I thought was curious was I felt like from the get-go, USC and Lincoln Riley thought their massive advantage was we're going to roast the secondary. Mm-hmm. Now, look, credit to Oregon's defense again for slowing and stopping the run game. It was basically bottled, 52 total yards there, right?
Mm-hmm.
I just, even with that being said, it just felt like they thought they were going to be able to Texas Tech air raid and beat you guys that way.
They had 230 passing yards in the first half. They're down by 14.
No doubt. And Lane was massive in this game. Mm-hmm. Lemon had a couple touchdowns in this.
And he threw a touchdown, too.
What was the other awesome. Kid's? Hines.
Or Hines,
Tanuk Hines. Yeah, he had a big game as well. Like, they got their stats. But it really felt like Oregon dissuaded USC out of wanting to run the football in general. Like, their entire game plan was, no, we're going to throw the football today.
Yeah.
And in a way, I think eventually that fell into Oregon's hands. I mentioned it before. I thought Mayava should have had 3 to 4 picks in that game. He had 2. There were a couple drops or just they didn't turn around and look for the football. And so, like, you said it last segment. I agree with it. Watching this game play out from start to finish, we haven't mentioned the punt return. It just felt exactly how USC was, or yeah. Notre Dame USC was.
It was the same game.
They scored first. Oh, look, USC Ooh. Got the first touchdown. And yeah. then, you know, Oregon responds. USC responds. Oh, Oregon goes up 2 touchdowns now. And they never really look back from the 2 touchdown lead. It just kind of played itself out exactly the same way.
Yeah, it really did. I think Oregon's defensive game plan coming in, like, there's a lot of things you could criticize with their young secondary, but it's a reminder that it's a young secondary. Like, Oregon, the numbers on them coming into the game were that they had the number one pass defense in the country. I don't even think any Oregon fan would tell you that they had the best pass defense in the country. Like, that
this hadn't really been tested.
That was a byproduct
right?
of a lot of the teams yeah. that they play. Now, I don't think Oregon's terrible, and I don't think they're going to face. I shouldn't say that because I don't know who they're going to play the rest of the way. We'll see. You got to beat Washington first, but you're not going to face a lot of passing attacks that are better than what you saw this weekend. Those are two bona fide NFL wide receivers. The Hines kid is a true freshman who came on and had a big game. And Mayava, while struggling at times, I'll be fair to him, like, he had no help from a run game. He was under siege a lot. He had to get rid of the ball quickly. And he had to kind of do it all on his own. He was their entire offense. And so I thought he played a pretty decent game. There could have been some more turnovers in there. But if you go back and watch the Indiana game, Oregon lost at home. A big part of it was their offense was just not good in that game. They scored one offensive touchdown. That's the primary reason they lost. But when you look at their defensive game plan, it was a lot of kind of, we got young corners early in the season, soft coverage. And Indiana just picked them apart that way of 10-yard outs, 10-yard digs, hitches, and just kind of giving them everything to 8 to 12 yards underneath chunk, 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 chunk. And I think since then, Oregon has gone about the thought process of, we're not going to let teams do that. If you beat us over the top, one-on-one deep, more power to you, man. And to USC's credit, a lot in that first half, they did. Their offense, though, became essentially chunk play through the air yep. or nothing.
Throw it up and
on the
us.
Drives where they couldn't complete it, they went 3 and out or mm-hmm. threw a pick and gave it right back to Oregon. On drives that they did or they got a DPI, they were able to move the ball down the field and score. But Oregon came in saying, this is a balanced offense. We don't think they're going to be able to run the ball on us. On top of that, their offensive line was banged up already coming in. Their left tackle was hurt. Then their center got hurt. So they were shorthanded there. We're going to dominate the line of scrimmage. We're going to make them one-handed. And hey, if they hit a deep shot on us over Finney or Offord or Iffy, whoever it might be, that's fine. But we feel like we can bait them into some turnovers. And those are, you know, not a high percentage play when you're throwing the ball 30 to 40 yards down the field. And so they hit some chunks in the first half. They didn't hit as many of them in the second half. And I think Oregon was perfectly fine with that game plan. Now it becomes a thought of, how do you clean up some of the mistakes you made in the secondary? Because Brandon Finney, who had been terrific, had a really rough day, but he's also a true freshman.
We have a couple more things to get into. We'll get back into this in the final hour. We also got NFL to dive into as well. Lincoln Riley trolled. We'll get to that coming up next. We've got audio hinting. Is this it for a coach? And if so, going to be really sad but happy. It's it for one coach in the Bay Area after losing to your rival by 21 points.
Yeah, it's tough.
Andrew Luck, mid-game interview, saying, hold on, let me watch this play.
Just loving ball. Wants
Go
nothing
Trey!
To do with this
Go
interview.
Trey!
All right, that's it. I'm going back to the sideline. See you later. I'm done.
I love Andrew Luck.
Yes.
So we'll get to the coaching news. We haven't really gotten to enough NFL, I think, but
no.
Tough day for a guy who nicknames himself after a number.
Yes, it was. I had unsolicited texts coming in after so much the amount of trash I've talked on him of like, hey, rough day for Niner. A lot of those came in yesterday.
So we'll get to some NFL dealings. We had Lincoln Riley get trolled in the post game. So again, I did not.
Look, it's not the question you should probably ask in that setting, but I get the point of what he's trying to ask.
Yeah, but
it's essentially a question of what I've said. Nobody fears you. How does that make you feel?
I know, and I hear you. I'm actually not upset at the question, but I kind of also get like,
I mean, there's no right way for him to answer that. What's he going to say? Well, of course nobody fears me. I'm 3-13 against top 25 teams at USC.
You're right.
What's my best win here?
So here's the thing. I guess there was a sign at game day that basically was...
it said extend Lincoln Riley.
Extend Lincoln Riley, yeah. Which is an indication like if the fan base that you're going against wants you extended, they do not... They're not afraid of you in any way.
Yeah.
By the way, shout out the Oregon Duck. Thank you for doing America service this week, begging America to not care about the 6-7 thing anymore. It's literally everywhere in my life. If it's not in a sports game because a girls team scored 67 points, it is the any mention of 6-7 close together, my kids. 6-7. I am at some point this has to die. It has to.
I don't have kids at that age, but I know on Thanksgiving when I'm around my nieces and nephew, they're going to be doing it entire time.
Do you go in and just tell them how absolutely idiotic
kids
and moronic?
Kids don't care. No. You're old and out of touch. They don't care.
So no. if you say that
makes them want to do it more.
No. Why would you? Okay, first of all,
I didn't know which way to go. I don't know which way to go, but so then you just ignore it.
This is what you did to your kid whenever he was doing an annoying thing. Yeah. You would just go in and say, you're really annoying. Is that what you did?
Do you realize how annoying this is right now?
No, I'd ask him. I would go into the why. I would play the why game with him.
Yeah, but like the why is because everybody does it.
Yeah, it's because it's a cool, trendy
thing. So then what do you do if he keeps doing it?
Kids.
Yeah, it's...
The only way to do it is ignore it. I tried this with my niece one time. I told her, do you realize how dumb that is? I said those exact words.
Everybody picked their nose and ate their boogers. Are you doing that?
Yeah, you got to follow through on that one.
God,
everybody went and jumped off a bridge. Would you go jump off a bridge?
Yep, you're doing the bridge thing.
You just ignore it. I'm going to ignore it on Thanksgiving. Act like it doesn't exist.
They still say... Like, they still do it as if it's the first time they...
It'll die.
6-7!
Remember when every...
Either that or I'd ask them, actually, what does that signify and mean? Like, give me, like...
No, they'll tell you the answer, and then they'll still want to do it. Everything you're saying is not going to work.
Do they have an answer?
There is an answer. Yeah. There's a response.
There's
it's really stupid. It doesn't mean it's not stupid, but it's a song?
It's
a thing.
It's a reference, yeah. It's a social media thing. You have not been a parent for a long time.
No, I haven't.
Yeah, you're a little out to lunch on this one. I gotta admit.
Very glad to be out to lunch on this one.
Yeah, well, you'll get used to it with your grandkid. Let's get to the Lincoln Riley was trolled in the post game. So this is a former USC student who's now a reporter, and USC loses to Oregon. Here was the question by the reporter and the answer.
I was confused on the side of the college game this morning from an Oregon fan that said extend Lincoln Riley's contract. What are your thoughts on the fact that opposing fan base are not being unfriendly and coaching USC since they don't view you as a threat?
Might be the dumbest question I've been asked as long as I've been a head coach, and I've been asked a lot of questions. You ought to feel a little embarrassed to ask that question. This is a professional thing. You ought to try it.
So if you couldn't hear that because it was a little tough audio-wise, the guy basically said, there's a sign of game day that basically said extend you. They don't fear you. How does it make you feel? And he was obviously being Lincoln Riley, very sensitive and thin-skinned.
Was not an Oregon fan. The reporter was on social media like, okay, I guess my mentions are going to blow up. He picked up 1,000 followers because I think a lot of USC fans who are frustrated with their current state of the program are like, thanks for asking that question.
Well, Matt Leinart's telling me everything's great.
Everything's great. They're so close. They're a couple plays away.
Yeah.
They're just right there, man.
They're just right
there. Clean it up here, clean it up there, and you're going to get over the hump. That's all you got to do. I have a really hard time with them. I understand and acknowledge that they've gotten better this year. We talked about them last week in this way. Like, winning against Iowa is probably a game the last 2 years that they lose. Like,
when you win 6 games, it's pretty easy at USC to be, we've gotten better this year.
Right.
You've beaten it by 2 games.
Better. And they're probably going to blow out UCLA this weekend, who, by the way, UCLA, we're not going to talk about it today.
They rolled over and died.
The worst fake field goal I have ever... Did you see the highlight of that? He tried the LSU toss over the head, and the Husky player was right there and ran it back for a touchdown?
Dirt, that was the only way I watched the game. Was with the highlights. I was not having my Saturday night robbed by Washington UCLA.
That game was very ugly, and that was a hilarious moment. So they're probably going to blow out UCLA. But I go back to the idea that I talked about last week and flip the roles here. And if Oregon's best year under Dan Lanning was winning 10 games and going to the Pac-12 title in year one, and then winning 7 and then 6 or whatever it was last year, and then 9-3 is now your high watermark that you're happy about?
In year four.
Yeah. I would be incredibly frustrated as an Oregon fan, and I would say, what are we doing? Like, why is this taking so long?
You would have been there, though, at 6-6.
I would have been there.
6-6 would have pissed you off.
And I get the difference is that Lincoln Riley had the track record coming in, and look how good he was at Oklahoma, but I love that question was asked. Probably not the most professional thing to do, probably not the right setting for it, but it did strike a nerve with him. And it made me laugh because it was the exact thought that I had last weekend. I had people telling me I shouldn't be so confident going into the game. The reason I'm confident is because I'm not scared of Lincoln Riley. I'm not scared of Lincoln Riley in big games. I don't think they're going to be able to win at the line of scrimmage. His teams are not tough. They roll over and die. They're bad on special teams.
By the way, Iowa, the big win for teams, or the big, you know, this is how we measure ourselves physically. They needed 10 points in the final minute 20 to beat Michigan State. Suddenly, Iowa not looking like that great of a team.
Yeah.
And so that's their big win this year is Iowa.
Yes, or Michigan early in the year, who is not what Michigan has largely been.
You're right. I forgot about the Michigan game, so I'll be fair. I'll retract that, but still.
Again, the point is they're both at home, and so there's a difference between winning on the road, and there's a difference between doing it against teams who have talent composite rosters that can compete for national championships, which is what Oregon and Notre Dame have, and it's the only two teams that were on their schedule that had those level of rosters, and in both games, yeah, you flirted around a little bit, you scored early, and you're like, hey, all right, maybe their offense is going to hang around, and then you look up, and you're never really in doubt. Like,
you're out physical.
Even when Oregon was doing a lot of dumb stuff, and boy, did they do a lot of dumb stuff. How about a tight end quarterback sneak when we're running the ball for 5 yards a carry to get stopped on fourth down? How dumb was it? Like, there was a lot of moments in that game. Back-to-back plays, defensive pass interference, handing them an easy touchdown. They made a lot of mistakes. Even through all of that, there was never really even a fear in the second half that USC's going to find a way to get another stop and then another score, because that's what it was going to have to take. And so, there's no right way for him to answer that question, probably not the right setting for it, but I'll just tell USC fan, and again, maybe this age is like warm milk out in July. That's how we all feel about USC. He's a brilliant offensive mind. You know they're going to be able to throw the ball on literally everybody they play. He's one of, if not the best developer of quarterbacks. He's always going to have good wide receivers. There is nothing else about USC that scares you.
Do you think that kid's publication is going to make him write an apology email to Lincoln Riley? Lincoln Riley won't respond to or acknowledge ever existed?
I would imagine so. He actually, I'll give the kid some credit. So I watched the entire Lincoln Riley presser, a lot of we're close, play here, play there. Two powerhouse programs, heavyweight fight.
Swear to God, he said the same stuff last year after losing to Maryland.
All the same stuff. Yeah. I'll give the kid credit. He asked another question.
Yeah.
He was like, sorry about that first one, and he just fired off another one.
Did Lincoln answer?
And he answered the question. Oh, okay. So kind of water under the bridge pretty quickly.
Buried the hatchet pretty quickly. We got some coaching news that happened in college and the NFL. We'll get to that. Should Dirt be scared about one move?
What's scaring me today?
Well, the coaching carousel. It turns. We'll get to that next on The Fan.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
A lot to get to in the third hour of the program today, here on a Monday Gobbler edition. Dirt and Sprague, 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network. The Fan text line is 503-864-6326. You can reach the show there. Also, we're on YouTube. The YouTube chat is live. It is loud. Feisty. Nice little Monday. We'll get more into the Washington stuff probably starting tomorrow, as we're talking a lot of Oregon, USC here in the first, the second hour, excuse me, of the program. Mm-hmm. And we had Josh Paton in the first hour. You can catch that interview at 1051thefan.com. A couple firings in football.
Yeah.
And one of them might impact your school.
It might.
Justin Wilcox was let go from Cal. They announced his departure after they lost to Stanford. The season started off with a bang.
It did.
And what's the one kid's name that is their five-star quarterback?
Well, whatever.
After the nice start, it's kind of crumbled. Now, they're going to be a bowl team, but they lost by 21 points to Stanford. And we'll get to some audio at Stanford later on, but Wilcox fired after 9 seasons at Cal.
Yeah, I mean, you look at Cal and his run there. I don't know if any coach in the country was more impacted by COVID and when it happened and how it happened there and limitations and when they could practice, and it kind of lingered for a couple of years.
NIL portal stuff.
Yeah. It just, you know, things kind of spiraled. And that's the tough part for Wilcox, is I felt like if you went back to like 2019, that was a team that was trending in the right direction, and then it all kind of crashed down, and they haven't been able to regain that. And so I think he's a tremendous coach. I don't know about an elite level Power Four head coach. That was a whole debate before Dan Lanning was hired. Do you go with the local kid? Remember, his name was the top of the list for a lot of former Oregon players and people around that program that wanted to bring somebody to home to run the team. But I think if he gets another opportunity, he'll be a good head coach. He's shown that he has the ability to do it. And if not, he's going to be an elite defensive coordinator somewhere, probably at a good institution.
Adam Rittenberg wrote last night for ESPN, with Cal's departure of Wilcox, he thinks the front man for that is former Cal alum, Taj Lepoy.
Yeah.
So you might finally be in a spot, it's been a couple years, where you lose potentially a coordinator here.
He's been with Lanning the entire time. Will Stein's name continues to kind of get murmured behind the scenes. He's been rumored for a couple of different gigs, and I think the point with Stein, too, is you got to wait for the other dominoes to fall, right? Like, what head coach takes a job that then opens up a vacancy that then maybe they look at Will Stein as well? So we'll have to wait and see on both of them, but it's ironic that Tosh's name is in there. I think it'd be a great hire for Cal. He's a relentless recruiter. The question you would have with him is, who do you go hire as an offensive coordinator, right? Because he's a defensive guy, but we had a lot of the same questions about Dan Lanning, and he's hired two pretty damn good offensive coordinators.
Who's the assistant OC at Oregon? Who's under Will Stein? You got to have to kind
probably
of go...
Rashad Samples probably is the running back coach.
And he's a good recruiter, isn't
he's
he?
He's a dynamic recruiter,
so
yeah.
You have to kind of, when this happened with Franklin at Virginia Tech, you heard him on his interview that like, or his press conference, that basically like start to take people. I would assume that if Lepoy does leave, that some of that staff is going to get poached and taken for an opportunity.
It could. But if Stein leaves, Samples would take the OC job at Oregon. I don't know if they'd give it to him, but he would take that over being the OC at Cal for sure.
Oh,
so that's the other part of it,
I think
too.
That's like about relationships, though, too. Without Who are you boys with, right? If he's boys with Lepoy versus Stein, maybe he would stay to be the OC at Oregon. Also, maybe he just wants to go to Taj. That just depends on the relationship.
Well, it's funny when I heard Taj's name thrown out in there. Again, I think it would be a good hire for them. The immediate thought I had would be, can we just swap then? Because we'll take Justin Wilcox as defensive coordinator.
Oh, would you want him as DC?
Without a doubt, dude. I think he's a great defensive mind. I think the recruiting aspect of him is one thing that you would have to just ask about.
Because that's a massive thing to Lanning.
It's the lifeblood of every college football program, and you have to be willing to be relentless at it, and Taj Lepoy certainly is. But in terms of like X's and O's, I have a lot of faith that Justin Wilcox could be a very good defensive coordinator again. He was a great defensive mind for a long time in the sport.
And I feel like I'm doing a disservice making it a footnote, so I don't know if you want to get into it at any one point, because we haven't gotten much NFL. Chip Kelly was also fired yesterday after the Browns bludgeoned the Raiders 24-10.
Very interesting of what is his future.
I don't know what to make of him. I don't think his year at Ohio State was good, and I know they won the title and their offense started to hum, especially against Oregon, but
they were good when they needed to be late.
They were underwhelming most of the year, and before that, like,
he was at UCLA, and he walked out the door on his own.
I don't know to make of him, man. He's weird, and like, not all of this is his fault. Like, their offensive line in Vegas is
decimated with injuries,
abysmal. Maybe the worst group in the entire league. But also, you can't keep scoring 3 points every game. And he already acknowledged, like, you got to win games in this league to keep a job. He loved working with Geno, but he was the highest paid at the position.
Yes,
and your highest paid cannot be scoring 6 or 3 or 10, like. You got to put points on the board. He wasn't able to do it. I don't know what to make of him. I have no clue at all. I don't know if that'd be a good hire for any college team.
Because he also doesn't recruit. And he's not going to recruit.
Right.
So go be a quarterback coach, maybe. Maybe you go back to your
does
roots.
Does he go like Division II, maybe? Yeah. And just, like, surprise us? Like, if Vegan goes to Oregon State, does he go, you know what?
Go to Montana State. I'll go coach up there.
I don't care.
Go back to your roots at New Hampshire. You go coach at a place like that and just say back where it all started, just for the love of the game of football. I just, yeah, I mean, his name, like, if Stein leaves, I'm sure that will become a thing for Oregon fans. And you and I have talked about that. And you kind of did a good course correction of me, because I think a lot of Oregon fans think of the nostalgia of Chip Kelly. And God, it'd be great to bring him home. And I even saw some of those tweets yesterday.
I still think it's going to exist if he leaves.
And it will, if Will Stein takes a head coaching job, that will definitely exist. I just, he's not a recruiter, man. No. It just, you have to be willing to do that at the highest level. It's great to have an X's and O's mind. And I still think he knows offensive football. Their shortcomings this year are not all on him, but if you're not willing to recruit relentlessly, you're not a long-term plan at offensive coordinator, and I don't think it would work out.
I think he would have stayed at Ohio State if he liked college, but he clearly went to the NFL for a reason.
Yes.
So, Chip Kelly fired, Wilcox fired. We have a lot more to get into in the third and fourth hour of the program. Hour number three, Dirt and Sprague, 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.